Welcome to Storytime by Chava. Today's story, which I am dedicating to Zev HaKayin Borenstein, is taken from the book Our People by Jacob Isaacs and is about how Yehoshua conquers Eretz Yisrael. After the death of Moshe, the responsibility of leading the Shvatim into the land that was promised to their ancestors fell upon Yehoshua of the tribe of Ephraim. Like his predecessor, Yehoshua possessed all the qualities of a leader, general, and teacher required for the artist's undertaking of conquering the land of Canaan and settling the Jews there. We may imagine with what fear Yehoshua viewed his task. Had not his teacher Moshe forfeited the fruits of his leadership at the very threshold of the promised land? What could Yehoshua expect? What did the future hold for him, a man of 82 who was going to start on such a vigorous campaign? All these fears, however, were soon allayed. For had not Hashem told him, "No man shall be able to stand up before thee all the days of thy life," Yehoshua knew that as long as he adhered to the Torah and its teachings, he would be successful. 1 month after Moshe's death, the Yidden prepared themselves for the invasion of Canaan. Announcing his intention to conquer the land promised by Hashem to the children of Israel, Yehoshua sent an ultimatum to the inhabitants, offering them three choices: to leave the land, surrender and declare peace, or stand up and fight. The native tribe of Girgashi accepted the first condition. However, 31 kings chose to fight. Yehoshua then sent two spies, Pinchas and Kalev, to obtain first-hand information as to how the people from Canaan were receiving the news of the impending invasion. The men went and came to the inn of Rachav in the wall of the city of Yerichai. When the news of their arrival reached the king, he at once sent messengers to Rachav and bade her give up the strangers. But Rachav had hidden them on the roof of her house, and when the king's messengers came, she told them that the men had left her at dusk and had departed from the city. She did not know whither. "Follow after them quickly," she urged with eagerness, "for you shall surely overtake them." Away sped the messengers to the fords near the Jordan. Rachav then went up to the men on the roof and entreated them in these words: "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land tremble before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorim that were on either side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, nor did there remain any courage in any man on account of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." The men pledged themselves faithfully to remember Rachav and her household. Then Rachav led them down by a rope from the window over the wall of the city and bade them hide in the mountains for 3 days. The men, before leaving her, asked her to tie a red thread in her window so that the conquerors should know and save her whole family, lest any member of it should unwittingly be injured. Rachav promised to do so, and the men cautiously departed. When they returned to Yehoshua, it was with a joyful and confident intelligence: "Truly, the Lord has delivered into our hands all the land, for all the inhabitants of the land tremble before us." In no ordinary manner did the Jewish people cross the Jordan in order to storm the first bastion of the land of Canaan. They were to pass over the waters of the Jordan as miraculously as their fathers had passed through the waves of the Red Sea. On the 10th day of Nisan in the year 2488, the river was full to overflowing. The Kohanim advanced with the holy ark, and as the soles of their feet touched the waters of the Yarden, the waters at that point halted in their course, piling up into a wall, while the rest flowed down. Thus, the riverbed became dry, and the whole nation passed over. The people gazed with reverential awe upon Yahushua, and they feared him as they had feared Moshe. 12 men, one from each Shevet, then carried 12 stones from the bed of the Yarden to a spot on the shore where they erected a monument to commemorate the historic and miraculous event. The people settled in Gilgal, on the western shore of the Yarden, where they set up the Mishkan, which stayed there for 14 years, until the land of Canaan was conquered and divided. One supernatural occurrence succeeded another. A few miles west was the city of Yerichai, surrounded by a thick wall on all sides. For a week, the Jewish army besieged Yerichai. They did not storm the city, but at the command of Hashem, they circled the city each day, headed by the Kohanim carrying the holy ark, the Aron Kodesh, and blowing ram's horns. On the seventh day Shabbos, they circled the city 7 times, whereupon the walls crashed and sank, laying the whole city open to the jubilant Jews. Yahushua had commanded on oath that no one was to keep any of the booty from the city for himself. However, one, Achan, of the tribe of Yehuda, yielded to temptation and took some things for himself. This aroused Hashem's anger and caused some setbacks to the Jewish army until the crime was discovered and the culprit paid for it with his life. Thereafter, the conquest of Canaan proceeded without mishap. Further west was the fortress of Ai. This city, west of Bethel, was a very ancient one and mentioned in Abraham's travels through the land. Following the advice of a few of the scouts, Yahushua dispatched a small contingent of 3,000 men to capture Ai. However, because of Achan's crime, which had not yet been discovered at that time, the Jews met with defeat and fled back to the Jewish camp after leaving 36 of their number dead on the field of battle. Realizing that a failure at this stage might prove fatal to the morale of the Jews, and at the same time bolster the spirits of the Canaanim, Yahushua was very much grieved and davened to Hashem. Then he proceeded to purge the Jewish camp of Achan's crime. Yeshua's second attempt to conquer Ai succeeded. He placed an army in ambush west of the city, while another army attacked from the east. The king of Ai immediately emerged from the city with his army to meet the attack. The attacking Jewish army feigned they pretended retreat, drawing the enemy further from the city. At a given signal, the army that lay in ambush entered the city and set it on fire. The enemy then found himself hemmed in on both sides and was completely annihilated. In compliance with the mitzvah of the Torah, Yahushua placed 6 shvatim on Har Gerizim, on Mount Gerizim, and 6 on Har Eval, with the elders of the Levim and Kohanim in the valley between. The blessings and curses were read to them, to which they all answered, Amen. Soon after the conquest of Ai, Yahushua received a delegation of ambassadors. Their clothes in tatters and their food moldy and dry, they professed to have traveled a long distance for the express purpose of declaring their nation at peace with Bnei Yisrael. The Jewish leader gave his word, acknowledging their declaration for peace, and the messengers departed happily. Soon afterwards, however, Yahushua learned that the messengers had actually come from the neighboring Givinim, who, fearing the same fate that had befallen Yerichai and Ai, had resorted to this ruse. However, since a treaty had been concluded with them, Yahushua was determined to respect it. When the other people of Canaan heard of the surrender of the Givinim, they resolved to remove the traitors from their midst. Under the leadership of the king of Yerushalayim, 5 armies converged on Givin. Having received an urgent appeal for aid, Yeshua led his army to the aid of Givin. Setting out from Gilgal, the Jewish army traveled for one whole night, and in the early morning attacked the unsuspecting enemy. The great confusion in the camp of the Canaanim was intensified by the miraculous falling of hailstones. It was Friday, and fearing that the battle might extend into Shabbos, Yeshua prayed that the sun would not set until the battle had been won. And for 24 hours, the sun stayed where it was, until Bnei Yisrael had won a complete victory. The five Canaanite kings who had hidden in a cave were caught and hanged, and a number of cities were captured. But the heathens made one more attempt to struggle against the advancing foe. Yavin, king of Hazor, one of the Canaanite chiefs dwelling in the northern part of the land, had heard of the unparalleled success of the invaders, and full of courage, he was determined to stem their progress. He sent messengers to the valleys of the south, to the eastern hills, and to the kingdoms lying on the sea coast. He summoned all the chiefs to meet him with their armies at the northern lake of Merom, the first through which the Yarden passes in its course from the heights of Lebanon. A vast army answered the appeal. They were like the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots, very many. They encamped at the waters of Merom, defiant in their strength and confident of victory. But Yehoshua, undaunted and relying upon Siyata Dishmaya, divine assistance, appeared at the head of his warriors before the enemy's gigantic army and wiped out the last united resistance of the inhabitants of Canaan. In all, Yeshua conquered 31 kings and their cities.